Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Bibles today. We're going to jump into Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Today I'm excited to bring you a message on raising godly kids in a broken world. I think we all would agree this world is broken. And it's been broken for a long, long, long time. And with the abundance now of technology and social media, I think we see it even more now. Everybody has access to the brokenness. We all see it everywhere. So how can we, as a church, raise godly kids in a broken world? Now, notice I said church. This is not a parenting message. If you want a parenting message, Pastor did an awesome sermon series a couple months ago, and I highly recommend you check it out. Today, I'm coming at it from the angle of how can we, as a church, raise up godly kids in a broken world? Because that's our job. God gave it to us. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Let's start in verse number 1. It says this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land wherewith you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Let's get down to verse number 4. It says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be the frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Look down at verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. And it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 here is Moses giving the second law, giving it once again to the Israelites. And he talks about right here reaching the next generation. How do we reach the next generation? We must pass on what we have been given. In church, that's our goal as well, to pass on what we have been taught. The goal today is not to raise good kids. Let me say that again. The goal today is not to raise good kids. The goal is godly adults. Don't get me wrong. I want good kids. I want good kids in the boardwalk. I want good kids in your house. I want my kids to be good kids. But more important than that, I want them to be godly 25-year-olds. I want them to be godly 30-year-olds. I want them to reach their next generation, to pass the baton off to their kids. But that's not going to happen if we don't do our job. Today, I'm going to give you a lot of information. I mean a lot. Pastor saw my slides. He's like, you sure you're going to be able to cover it all? Normally I'm 20 minutes, so I got this, all right? I'm going to give you a lot of information today. You're going to get scriptural truth, fact-based statistics done by Christian organizations, and lots of ideas on how to reach the next generation, aka your kids and mine. Before we jump in, grab some paper or open up your notes app. But if you'd rather just listen, that's fine. I can share my slides with you later. But do me a favor, I'm going to give you a lot of information. There's going to be something that's going to stick in your head to write down. I want today to transform how you see the next generation. So let's jump right in. We're going to start off today by I'm going to introduce you to someone, and that's Generation Alpha. Generation Alpha is the up-and-coming generation born from 2010 to 2025. And let me tell you, they are wild. They are a wild generation. If you thought millennials had problems, you've seen absolutely nothing. All right, Gen A has a lot of issues that we don't necessarily think about. So let me introduce you to them. Here are some characteristics of Generation Alpha. The first one is they are hyper-connected. They are a hyper-connected group of kids. They all have, most of them have cell phones. Most of them have Apple Watches. Most of them have some form of social media, whether you know it or not. It is out there, and more than likely, they have access to something. They're hyper-connected. They are always online. And they'd rather be online than in person. And I think a big portion of that actually happened during COVID. When everything shut down and kids started communicating online for everything, it was just easier for them. So why go back? So they're hyper-connected. They also have extreme personalization. Now, when I say that, I mean it twofold. Number one is they want to stand out, but not too much, but they want to have their own style. They want to make sure people recognize them, but also they're used to being catered to with personalization. Think about it. You are at home, and you're talking about a pair of shoes that you saw online. You go and you pick up your phone, you open up Facebook, you scroll down about three things, and what do you see? Those shoes that you saw online again. And Gen Alpha has had that their entire life. Their entire life, they have been fed things that they want online, extreme personalization. They also have delayed social and behavioral development. And working in the school, I've seen this firsthand. They have delayed social and behavioral and development. They have less face-to-face interaction, slower skill growth. They struggle to emotionally regulate. These are the kids that is the next generation. It's delayed, and I've seen it. This fourth one is they have increased depression, anxiety, and loneliness. Pressures of digital lives, increased academic and social expectations, reduced physical activity and outdoor play, they all contribute. And we're going to talk a little bit here in a second about just the mental health struggles that Gen A has. And can I just say that they have it? I'm not up here, I'm not going to try to over-exaggerate it, but truly it's a struggle that Gen A has. And it's something that I didn't really face as a millennial because technology was just coming on the scene, but I think technology has exacerbated this. So now everybody has access to everybody's problems. They see the things going on around the world. I never saw those things growing up. I never would have known if the president was about to be assassinated. I never would have known that growing up unless I saw it in the newspaper, my parents told me. But they saw it when it happened. The moment it happened, oh no, is our president dead? These things go through their minds. Oh man, there's war happening. Oh man, this is going on. Is our country next? This is what they're seeing each and every day. You and I wouldn't have seen that right away growing up, but now they see it every single day. Let's talk about some needs of Gen A. Some needs in Gen A. They have two really big needs. The first one is belonging. Where do I belong? Every kid is looking for a place that they belong. Outside of their home. They want a place of belonging. Somewhere where they can have a friend group. Somewhere where they can see, where they can be seen and feel heard and feel loved. They are looking for that. And we'll get to it later. They're finding it in all the wrong places. The second needs of that Gen A has is that of identity. Who am I? And we have the answer for them. They're a child of God. But the world has thousands of lies for them. So today, we're going to mainly talk about what do we want them to know and grow before they go. We need to begin with the end in mind. So what do we want them to know? What does Gen Alpha need to know and grow in order to become a godly adult? Number one, every kid needs to feel emotionally safe. Now, let me caveat this because some of you may see that word up there, emotionally safe, and think, oh man, is he going to start talking about gentle parenting up here? I'm definitely not a gentle parent. I am. If my kid falls down and scrapes his knee, I'm like, get up, you're fine, all right? Is it broken? No? Okay, you're good. Go play again. If my kids, I don't want to eat that for dinner. I don't care. You're going to eat it anyway. Like, and you're not going to get anything else until you do. I'm not a gentle parent when it comes to things like that. No might just be one of the number one words in my household. But here's the thing. Kids need to feel emotionally safe, especially here at church. I'm going to give you some statistics, and these statistics, they honestly broke my heart when I read them. This is Gen Z. I'm going to show you here in a second. Gen Alpha is going to be even worse. But let me show you some statistics. We are facing a mental health crisis amongst kids now. We're just facing it. It's real and it's here. And we as a church need to realize and understand that this is a real thing. Bible says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And let me tell you, we have some broken hearts over there in the boardwalk. We have some broken hearts. Let me give you some statistics. These are Barna stats. Barna is a group that does Christian studies. They took a bunch of people in Gen Z because they can't do a bunch of statistics on Generation Alpha yet because they're too young. And they put this together in a book, and it's a great read. But here's some stats for you. 48% of kids today say they are moderately or extremely depressed. 48%. In the boardwalk today, we'll have probably roughly 200 kids over there for VBS Sunday. That would mean that almost 100 of those kids would say themselves, these are kids saying this, they are moderately or extremely depressed. 73% of Gen Z say they feel alone. But didn't I tell you they were hyper-connected? So how can they feel alone? I think we all understand that as adults. Being connected online is completely different than being connected in person. They feel alone. 61% say adults don't understand their struggles. Let that stat stick in for a second. If 61% of them believe that adults don't understand their struggles, then who are they going to turn to? It's not us. It's not their parents. They're going to turn to each other. And I think we've seen Bible stories where people have gone to their friends and how things have gone terribly wrong. And that's what's happening right now in our culture is teens and kids are going to their friends for answers and they don't have the answers. So what's happening is things are getting worse and worse. These next two stats are heartbreaking. 42% have been diagnosed with some form of mental health condition. Diagnosed, not just saying they do, have been formally diagnosed with some form of mental health condition. And this next one, 18% have seriously considered suicide or self-harm. That's one of every five. We're facing a mental health crisis. And it's not just here in the church, it's all around the world. Kids are struggling. And as a church, we need a place where they can feel emotionally safe, where they can come to leaders, where they can come to adults and say, I am struggling here, how do I get help? Now, as I've mentioned, I've seen this personally at teen camp 2 weeks ago. I had the opportunity to speak and we had an awesome time with kids, and there were about 25 of our kids that went up there, and there was two kids in particular that I prayed for, and I was begging God to save their souls that week, and praise God he did. We were able to see five of our own kids here at Liberty accept Christ as Savior. One boy in particular, I sat down with him on Friday night. And I was begging God that he would touch his life and he would come and he would want to talk to me about salvation. So I took him around back and I led him to Christ that night. It was an awesome, awesome thing. We went through all of that, and I sat down with him in the back. He was crying. I was crying. I was a mess. We both were a mess. And he looks at me in the eye and says, is there anything else you want to talk about? He looks me in the eye. I begin to see tears streaming down his face. I say, you want to tell me something, buddy? What's up? He goes, how do I get rid of the evil inside of me? As a children's pastor, I about melted right there in my seat. This kid's struggling. This is a kid who goes to church here regularly. He's here every single Sunday, and he looks at me and he says, Pastor Caleb, how do I get the evil inside of me out? He's struggling. It's a real thing. We are facing a mental health crisis, and the church's response, we are to bear one another's burdens. That includes the kids over there on the boardwalk. Yes, we should bear each other's burdens in here, but those kids need people that they can pour their burdens into and that we can help out. So every kid needs to feel emotionally safe. Number two, every kid needs a person who loves them. Every kid needs a person who loves them. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart unto you even our own souls because you were dear unto us. Now I promise, I should have given this warning to begin with. These first couple points are pretty long, but it speeds up as we go, all right? So number two is every kid needs a person who feels emotionally safe. Let's talk about the power of presence for a second. Kids need people in their lives who, number one, are committed. They are committed. They show up. I don't have this phrase in my notes, but I thought about it the other day. Kids need to see the same faces in the same places on a regular basis. So when kids walk into that boardwalk, they need to see the same faces in the same places. They need to know there's people there that care about them, that love them. When they come to church and they meet you and they get introduced to you, they should see you. They need to see the same faces in the same places. They need consistent, they need committed adults. Number two, they need consistent adults. They stick around. They stick around. They stay around. They are constantly investing their lives. They're constantly in the church. They see them out on work days. They see them all over the place. They need consistency. Number three, they need people who are connected. They know their names. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I struggle remembering people's names a lot, especially adults. Like, I'm sorry. Some of you have probably been coming here for like 8 years, and I probably don't know your name, and I am so sorry. However, I guarantee I know your kids' names, all right? I guarantee I know their names. And that's something I try my very best to learn and keep in my mind right away is the name of kids because it's so important to them. But I walk up to them and I'll say, hey, buddy, how you doing? He doesn't even know my name. He doesn't care about me. Mr. Smith challenges me on this. He'll come into Kids Point on Wednesday nights. He'll look at me and goes, what's that kid's name? What's that kid's name? What's that kid's name? What's their sister's name? What's that kid's name? Do you know their name? And they ask me what their parents' name is and I'm like, sorry, but I got the kids' names down, all right? They need to feel connected to you. Number four, they need someone that is Christ-like. They show love, they show care. Somebody that is investing in them, that loves them. And they need caring adults that go the extra mile. I love this quote. Every kid is one caring adult away from a success story. I love that quote. We can make the difference in one kid's life. Now, don't get me wrong. They need Jesus, and they need Jesus first. But are we not the ambassadors for Jesus? Are we not the one, the feet, the hands, the eyes, the ears of Jesus? They need us in their lives. They need people who are present. They also need people who build a relationship. Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have for us and in sample. Kids need four key relationships in church. They need four key relationships. The first relationship they need is friends. They need to come to church. They need to find friends. And may I, as the children's pastor, may I urge you to have your kids' number one friends be Christians. I'm not saying they have to be here, but be Christians. I tell kids all the time, you show me your friends, pastor says it, I'll show you your future. And if kids are not hanging out with close friends that are Christians, again, if they don't trust going to their parents or adults, who are they going to turn to? Their friends. And what better place than here at church to develop those close relationships? They need friends. They need leaders. They need leaders, people that will lead areas. And this would be the Sunday school teachers, like Miss Charlene, who's been serving just as long as I've been alive. Mr. C, who led the rally time today, who literally has been here as long as I've been alive. Like, there's people that have stuck around that love kids. They are leaders in our kids' ministry. They need those people and they need to see them. So anytime that a leader in this room or a leader in the boardwalk doesn't feel appreciated, know that the kids need you. They need you. Don't get me wrong. I need you to lead a program. They need you to grow up to be godly adults. Yours is more important. Theirs is more important than mine. They need you. They need you. Number three, and this is all of us right here. This is where everybody comes in. They need influencers. Now, when I say influencers, immediately we think Instagram and TikTok, and we think, oh man, I gotta go around taking selfies around the church with kids. No, that's not what I mean at all. They need people that they can look up to and see a brother Javen, who's been sitting back there, who's been ushering for a long time. They need to see brother Doug, who's been serving a very long time in church ministry. They need to see a Craig and Julie Smith, who are here every Sunday and constantly investing in kids. They need to see an Andy Young, who's up here leading worship. They need to see a Johnny Pham, who's singing on front line. They need to see all of you who are serving in coffee shop ministry, who are serving on the security team, and with a joy about them. They need to see us serving, and they need to see us loving Jesus. They need influencers. And then lastly, they need pastors. Notice I put it fourth. I put it fourth because, yes, while the pastors are important, they see us for an hour a week. That's all they see me for. They give me an hour maybe twice a week. So I take my job very seriously and I pour into these kids like I feel like I'll never see them again. I pour into them so hard. But honestly, the church is what's gonna make the difference in their life. I may speak a message that changes their view on something, but they need you. They need to see you serving and loving Jesus and not being mad about it. I loved VBS this week. As Pastor said, we had 150 volunteers and no complaints. How does that happen? How do we get 150 volunteers serving over 300 kids for 5 days straight and not one complaint? Why? Because you love Jesus. And it shows. And you're showing these kids that you love Jesus. Third thing, one more step before I go there. Most teens who stay in church after high school had at least five adults actively involved in their faith development. Currently, 80% of young people leave the church when they become an adult, with at least one adult involved in their faith development, other than their parents. That number flips. Ever since I've been a kid, the number's always been 80% of kids are leaving church when they graduate high school. It's been like that ever since I was a kid, for a long time. Barna did some studies trying to figure out what we can do. We've tried a lot of things that haven't worked. We've tried making the church more worldly, trying to bring Disneyland into the church. That didn't work. It just didn't work. Kids ministry trying to be Disneyland doesn't work. It just doesn't. So how do we get kids to stay? One adult in their life other than their parents investing in them makes them 80% more likely to stay in church. So it literally flips the script. We can flip the script. We can literally flip it to where 80% are leaving. Not anymore, not here at Liberty. We got 80% staying. Why? Because we are a group of people. We are a church who loves the next generation. Number three, every kid needs a biblical worldview. There is a battle for kids' minds. There's a battle. And I'm gonna give you some stats here that shows we're losing. According to Barna, only 4% of Gen Z hold a biblical worldview. 4% hold a biblical worldview. And of those same people surveyed, 94% of those children do not have clear belief in moral absolutes. That means only 6% do. These stats, they challenge me. How can I reach the next generation when only 4% have a biblical worldview and 94% don't even believe there's moral absolutes? What can we do? Here's what we can do. We can teach them to put the word before the world. I think if you talk to kids today, where they primarily get their ideas of life from, it's come from a couple of places: YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Not Facebook, none of them are on Facebook. But social media, videos, that's where they get all of it from. The world is winning the worldview race. It's winning it. It's constantly pouring things into their mind that are completely contrary to scripture. I went off social media for about a month. I just completely got rid of it. I had it off my phone, couldn't even download it. I made it to where there was no way for me to look at social media for a month. I hopped back on during VBS week just so I could see like what was happening at VBS, the cool videos that Andy was putting together. I wanted to see all of those. And I started scrolling through like the Reels section, and it's amazing what the algorithm fed me pretty quick. It began to feed me things. I guess apparently it knew that I worked at a church that I knew, at least knew about church. And I started getting these crazy videos. One of them was like people arguing that Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't destroyed because of homosexuality going on there, but that homosexuality is okay. And they were using Bible verses to back this up. I'm thinking, what? I keep scrolling, and there's video after video after video of things like this that are taking scripture and completely twisting it. And now that's all I get in my view. But if I'm getting fed that, at least I know the difference. We need to pass that on to the next generation. We must show them to put God's word before the world. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." That verse is there for a reason. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Next one, we must know that every kid needs to know that God has spoken to their identity. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." We're facing, again, an identity crisis. I told you one of the core needs that kids have is that of identity. Can I share another troubling stat with you if I haven't shared enough with you already today? In the past 5 years, there has been a 4,000% increase in children identifying as gender nonconforming or transgender. Now, I don't know what the number was beforehand, so maybe it was a small number, but either way, a 4,000% increase across the board is not a good sign. Now, think about it with me. Why would kids do that? I never thought about that as a kid. Like that never would have been on my radar at one point at any time in my life. I was 100% boy. I was punching people. I was getting in trouble at school. Like I was 100% boy. Why would they be thinking about this? What has changed? Technology. And who's some of the most accepting people on the planet to people now? If you come out as LGBTQ or transgender, immediately you're celebrated. All of your friends are thanking you. They're patting you on the back. You're so brave. What an awesome kid you are. Way to go. But yet, if they come out to their friends as a Christian, that's not cool. It's dangerous. They're facing an identity crisis. So we must show kids where they belong. Identity is not inherited. In fact, they imagine it. They imagine their identity. They imagine what their identity should look like. It's not passed down from generation. Here's the biblical answer, is that identity is God-assigned. It's God-assigned, not self-defined. And kids want to identify as whatever they want to. We must teach them. We must teach them, not meanly, not harshly, not yelling or screaming at them. We must teach them that God loves you, that he created male and female in his image. You are loved. He cares for you. We must teach them these things instead of letting them self-define. God knows you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit leads you. We must teach them that they are a child of God. Matt Chandler put it this way, if we don't teach our children who they are in Christ, the world will teach them everything they are not. We must teach the next generation who they are in Christ. Or the world will teach them everything they are not. The last thing that every kid needs to know, see, I told you we'd get there. The last thing that every kid needs to know is they need to know Jesus. Honestly, this is the most important one. I saved it for last, hoping to grab your attention again at this point, all right? But every child needs to know Jesus. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being made conformable unto his death. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now, when I say a kid needs to know Jesus, we need to beware of two traps. There are two traps that we can fall into if we're not careful when it comes to teaching kids. First one is that of intellectualism. It's knowing about Jesus without knowing him. Knowing all the facts, but not the person. And I think for a long time, children's ministry was guilty of teaching facts to kids without teaching them Jesus, which is why we'd use the curriculum that we do here at Liberty Baptist Church, because it's not just teaching them Bible stories. Don't get me wrong. Bible stories are of utmost importance, and I want your kids to know all the Bible stories there are, but not just teaching them the story, but how it connects to Jesus every single time. How does Jesus show up in the story of Noah? How does Jesus show up in David's life? How does Jesus show up in Daniel in the lion's den? And pointing them back to Jesus, not just giving them head knowledge, but giving them a love and a respect and a desire to follow Jesus. I fell into this trap when I was a kid. I knew Bible stories inside and out. I would correct my teachers in Sunday school if they messed something up. I knew Bible stories, but I didn't know Jesus until I was 12 years old, and I realized I missed it. I missed it. Let's not miss it. Second trap they fall into is that of behavioralism. Looking good on the inside. They behave in church, but their hearts are far. That's another trap that we can fall into when teaching kids about Jesus, is that of behavioralism, is that of teaching them to obey the rules. But then what happens? They become like Pharisees. I've been guilty of this before. You look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're whitewashed sepulchers, you're whitewashed tombs, Jesus told the Pharisees. Let's not be guilty of teaching kids to just behave in church. They need to know Jesus. Our calling is the gospel must be heard every day. It must be heard every single day in our house, whether that's a prayer, whether that's a Bible verse, whether that's devotional time. Kids need to know that you love Jesus. They need to know that I love Jesus. My kids need to know that I don't just get here and preach, that I don't get over in the kids' ministry and have fun. They need to know that their dad loves Jesus and that I want them to love Jesus because it's the best life they could possibly have. According to Barna, 64% of Christians came to Christ before age 18. Over half of Christians today, and I wanted to do this in here. How many of you came to Christ before age 18? Who would that be in here? Just take a look around. I think that roughly tracks. Probably somewhere in 50 to 60% of Christians in this room came to Christ before they were 18. You know what that means? It means the children's ministry and the youth ministry are of utmost importance. I don't just say that because I'm the children's pastor. I say that with stats to back it here. If we can reach them while they're young, we can invest in them while they're young, we can point them to Jesus while they're young, we have a great shot of reaching that next generation in a broken world. In closing, what's the role of the church and the family? Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. This is more of me talking to you now as a children's pastor. Between the church and the family, what is our role? The role of the church is to come alongside of you as parents. That's my goal as a children's pastor, is to come alongside of you as parents, not replace you. In today's society, we outsource everything. We outsource education, we outsource nutrition, we outsource gym, we outsource everything. Everything gets outsourced, daycare, you name it. Don't outsource your child's spiritual development. I am here for your child. Our kids team is here for you, but we get them one, maybe two out of 172 hours each week. As Matt Chandler says, parents are the primary disciple makers. The church is the partner, not the replacement. I want to help, but as a reminder, you have them a whole lot more than we do, so let's not squander that. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We told you at the beginning, the goal is to have godly adults. So how do we get there? The goal isn't to raise kids who follow the rules. It is to raise kids who fall in love with Jesus. Paul Tripp put it this way, you can make your kids behave through fear and pressure, but only Jesus can change their hearts. When Jesus captures the heart, obedience follows. Dawson Trotman put it this way, we are always one generation away from Christianity being extinct. All it takes is for parents not to disciple their children. Parents and leaders, are we prioritizing real Christianity over external morality, godliness over happiness, relationship over religion? Are we leading by example in Bible reading, prayer, serving? Matthew 19:14 says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The last quote that I'll leave you with today is this, children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. Don't underestimate your influence. They're watching, they're listening. Let's point them to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.